听力课堂，听 class.com.
Part 3. Listening Comprehension. Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
11. I have got a certificate from a secretarial school, and I also won a medal at a typing contest.
Okay. Please leave your references and resume here, and I will give you a reply as soon as possible.
Question. What is the woman most probably doing?
You should go on the trip on Thursday. We are going to see many different places.
I originally planned to go, but then my professor assigned this project due on Friday. I'm afraid that I won't be able to make it.
Question. What does the woman mean? Have you decided where you are going to live when you get married?
I would like to live in the city near my work, but my husband wants a home in the suburbs to save on expenses.
Question. What can we infer from the conversation?
If it hadn't been snowing so hard, I might have been home by 9 o'clock.
It's too bad you didn't make it. Jane was here, and she wanted to see you.
Question. What happened to the woman?
I'm disgusted by the way the subway is running. I've been waiting for an hour.
Well, so have I, but I think the subway will be coming soon.
Question. What can we learn from the conversation? Could you please explain the assignment for Monday, Miss Smith?
Certainly. Read the next chapter in your textbook and come to class prepared to discuss what you've read.
Question. What is the probable relationship between the two speakers? Let's ask Dan to introduce the musicians to the audience at the beginning of the concert.
Ask Dan? He'll be playing the violin.
Question. What does the woman mean?
Please help yourself. Today's roast beef is very good. We've ordered enough for 5 people.
Thank you very much. The beef is really delicious, but I've really had enough.
Question. What does the man mean?
Conversation 1. Hi, Lynn. I saw you at registration yesterday. I sailed right through, but you were standing in a line.
Yeah, I waited an hour to sign up for a distance learning course.
Distance learning? Never heard of it.
Well, it's new this semester. It's only open to psychology majors, but I bet it'll catch on elsewhere. Yesterday, over 100 students signed up.
Well, what is it?
It's an experimental course. I registered for child psychology. All I have to do is to watch a 12-week series of televised lessons. The department shows them several different times a day and in several different locations.
Don't you ever have to meet with your professor?
Yeah. After each part of the series, I have to talk to her and the other students on the phone, you know, about our ideas. Then we'll meet on campus 3 times for reviews and exams.
It sounds pretty non-traditional to me, but I guess it makes sense considering how many students have jobs. It must really help with their schedules, not to mention how it'll cut down on traffic.
You know, last year my department did a survey and they found out that 80% of all psychology majors were employed. That's why they came up with the program. Look, I'll be working 3 days a week next semester, and it was either cut back on my classes or try this out.
The only thing is, doesn't it seem impersonal, though? I mean, I miss having class discussions and hearing what other people think.
Well, I guess that's why phone contacts are important. Anyway, it's an experiment. Maybe I'll end up hating it.
Maybe, but I'll be curious to see how it works out.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
19. Where did the man see the woman yesterday?
What do the speakers agree is the major advantage of the distance learning course?
Why did the woman decide to enroll in the distance learning course?
2. I enjoy going through secondhand bookstores, don't you? It's interesting to see what people used to enjoy reading. Did you see this old book of children's stories?
Some of these books aren't so old, though. See, this mystery was published only 6 years ago. It costs 75 cents. You can't beat that.
Hey, look at this.
What? Are you getting interested in 19th century poetry all of a sudden?
No. Look at the inscription. Someone gave this book as a present and wrote a note on the inside of the front cover. It's dated 1893. Maybe it's worth something.
Everything on that shelf is worth 50 cents.
But if this is the signature of someone who is well known, it might bring a lot more. I hear William Shakespeare's signature is worth about $1 million.
Oh, I can hardly read what that one says. Who wrote it?
The name looks like Harold Dobson. Maybe Dobbins? Wasn't he a politician or something? I'm going to buy this book and see if I can find a name like that in the library.
Good luck. Your poetry book may make you rich. But I'll bet my 75-cent mystery is a better buy.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
22. Where is this conversation taking place?
23. What did the woman find in her book?
24. What does the woman intend to do later on?
What does the man think of the woman's plan? 2 Directions. In this section, you will hear 3 short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Did you know that vegetables can be tricked into growing in the climates they are not used to? Cool climate vegetables are now able to be grown in places as hot as Hawaii. In Hawaii, engineers have been able to convince such vegetables that they are living in cooler climate. That way, they grow faster and taste better. What these engineers have been using is cold seawater. How did they use it? They place pipes in the soil and cold water flowed through them, cooling the earth. This helps plant growth and enables gardeners in hot climates to grow crops from cooler climates. Also, some of the pipes are exposed to the air and thus irrigate the gardens. What is special about this process is that nothing damaging to the natural environment is used. Another use for cold seawater is to cool buildings. People believe that, for example, the entire west coast of the United States could be air-conditioned using seawater.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
26. What does the new system enable farmers to do?
27. How were the pipes used in Hawaii?
28. Why does the speaker mention air conditioning?
2. Watches and clocks seem as much a part of our life as breathing or eating. And yet, did you know that watches and clocks were scarce in the United States until the 1850s? In the late 1700s, people didn't know the exact time unless they were near a clock. These delightful clocks in the squares of European towns were built for the public. After all, most citizens simply couldn't afford a personal timepiece. Well into the 1800s in Europe and the United States, the main purpose of a watch with a gold chain was to show others how wealthy you were. The word wristwatch didn't even enter the English language until early 1900s. By then, the rapid pace of industrialization in the United States meant that measuring time had become essential. How could the factory worker get to work on time unless he or she knew exactly what time it was? Since the efficiency was now measured by how fast the job was done, everyone was interested in time. And since industrialization made possible the manufacture of large quantities of goods, watches became fairly inexpensive. Furthermore, electric lights kept factories going around the clock, being on time had entered the language and life of every citizen.
Questions 29 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard.
29. What does the essay mainly discuss?
30. What was true of watches before the 1850s?
31. According to the essay, why did some people wear watches in the 1800s?
32. What effect did industrialization have on watchmaking? 3. A lot of people in the United States are coffee drinkers. Over the last few years, a trend has been developing to introduce special coffee, called gourmet coffee, into the American market. Boston seems to have been the birthplace of this trend. In fact, major gourmet coffee merchants from other cities came to Boston, where today they are in a kind of coffee war with Boston merchants. They are all competing for an important share of gourmet coffee market. Surprisingly, the competition among these businesses will not hurt any of them. Experts say that the gourmet coffee market in the United States is growing and will continue to grow to the point of $8 million market by 1999. Studies have shown that gourmet coffee drinkers seldom go back to the regular brands in supermarkets since it tastes better. As a result, these regular brands will be real losers in the competition.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
33. What is the main topic of this story?
34. What probably leads people to choose gourmet coffee over regular brands?
35. What will probably happen in the future to stores that sell regular brands of coffee? 6. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard, or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written.
Emily Dickinson is one of the greatest American poets. She was born in a typical New England village in Massachusetts on December 10, 1830. She was the second child of the family. She died in the same house 56 years later. During her lifetime, she never left her native land. She left her home state only once. She left her village very few times. And after 1872, she rarely left her house and yard. In the last years of her life, she retreated to a smaller and smaller circle of family and friends. In those later years, she dressed in white, avoided strangers, and communicated chiefly through notes and poems, even with intimates. The doctor who attended her illness was allowed to examine her in another room, seeing her walk by an open door. She was thought of as a strange figure in her home village. When she died on May 15, 1888, she was unknown to the rest of the world. Only 7 of her poems had appeared in print. But to think Emily Dickinson only a strange figure is a serious mistake. She lived simply and deliberately. She faced the essential facts of life. According to Henry James, a famous American novelist, she was one of those on whom nothing was lost. Only by thus living could Dickinson manage both to fulfill her obligations as a daughter, a sister, and a housekeeper, and to write on the average 1 poem a day. She read only a few books, but knew them deeply. Her poems are simple but remarkably rich. Not until the 1950s was she recognized as one of the greatest American poets. Emily Dickinson is one of the greatest American poets. She was born in a typical New England village in Massachusetts on December 10, 1830. She was the 2nd child of the family. She died in the same house 56 years later. During her lifetime, she never left her native land. She left her home state only once. She left her village very few times. And after 1872, she rarely left her house and yard. In the last years of her life, she retreated to a smaller and smaller circle of family and friends. In those later years, she dressed in white, avoided strangers, and communicated chiefly through notes and poems, even with intimates. The doctor who attended her illness was allowed to examine her in another room, seeing her walk by an open door. She was thought of as a strange figure in her home village. When she died on May 15, 1888, she was unknown to the rest of the world. Only 7 of her poems had appeared in print. But to think Emily Dickinson only a strange figure is a serious mistake. She lived simply and deliberately. She faced the essential facts of life. According to Henry James, a famous American novelist, she was one of those on whom nothing was lost. Only by thus living could Dickinson manage both to fulfill her obligations as a daughter, a sister, and a housekeeper, and to write on the average 1 poem a day. She read only a few books, but knew them deeply. Her poems are simple but remarkably rich. Not until the 1950s was she recognized as one of the greatest American poets. Emily Dickinson is one of the greatest American poets. She was born in a typical New England village in Massachusetts on December 10, 1830. She was the second child of the family. She died in the same house 56 years later. During her lifetime, she never left her native land. She left her home state only once. She left her village very few times. And after 1872, she rarely left her house and yard. In the last years of her life, she retreated to a smaller and smaller circle of family and friends. In those later years, she dressed in white, avoided strangers, and communicated chiefly through notes and poems, even with intimates. The doctor who attended her illness was allowed to examine her in another room, seeing her walk by an open door. She was thought of as a strange figure in her home village. When she died on May 15, 1888, she was unknown to the rest of the world. Only 7 of her poems had appeared in print. But to think Emily Dickinson only a strange figure is a serious mistake. She lived simply and deliberately. She faced the essential facts of life. According to Henry James, a famous American novelist, she was one of those on whom nothing was lost. Only by thus living could Dickinson manage both to fulfill her obligations as a daughter, a sister, and a housekeeper, and to write on the average 1 poem a day. She read only a few books, but knew them deeply. Her poems are simple but remarkably rich. Not until the 1950s was she recognized as one of the greatest American poets.